Let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. A world of men who don't want you, Lord, but a world serve you more faithfully. Let me see this world, dear Lord, through your eyes when men mocked your holy when they beat you and spat upon you, Lord. Let me love them as you love them, just the same. Let me stand high above my petty problems and grieve for men hell-bound eternally. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully.
Thank you, son. It's good. Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John this morning, chapter 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4. We're going to begin reading at verse 1 of chapter 4. We're going to read several verses. If you would, in honor of the Word of God, we'll stand as we read the Word of God together. I'll read aloud. You'll read along silently. John chapter 4, please. I'm going to preach a message this morning, The Woman at the Well. And the question is on that topic, and that title is, are you there? Are you there? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, set thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, that's noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which a woman of Samaria, Jews and Samaritans never talked. They didn't communicate together. for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto me, thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let's pray together this morning. Father, I pray that you would bless us today. Help us to see the lessons from the woman at the well and to apply them to our life, us individually, not our neighbor, not a friend, not our loved one, but to us individually. Now that can happen if you, Holy Spirit, will work in the hearts of those that are listening this morning, and you'd work in my heart as the preacher this morning. Do a work. Save that person closest to hell this morning. Save them from eternal death. Help them to trust Jesus. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. What a Savior we have. Jesus had candor, and candor means being straightforward in his speaking. Jesus had candor, but he was... it was always found in Jesus in other occasions other than what we're reading here with the woman at the well. Everywhere. He was always candid with people that he talked to, but he was never rude. Boy, I know that I could use, and maybe you could too, not being rude when I too speak and say what I want to say. But can I say this morning, we need candor in our attitudes, in our way of thinking, in our lifestyle nowadays. This society that we're living in nowadays, it's so politically correct, PC, that you're afraid to say anything. But ladies and gentlemen, we need candor in our Christians, you and me, with the friends that we're around. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to know that there's eternal life and eternal death. We need to be candid about it. We need to let people know truth without being rude. And can I say this? Parents, you need to have candor in your home. You need to make sure your children, and you raise your children, tell them the truth, love them, but make sure they know the truth and follow the truth and do the truth. You are the parent, they are the children. We need that in our preachers today. We need it in our sermons. We need it in our teachers today. People that are willing to preach and teach the Word of God and not be afraid we're going to offend somebody. They're just trying to make it to where you can't say certain things and do certain things. I'll say like the apostles in the book of Acts, I'll just obey God and I'm not going to obey man. If God says to do it, then I'm going to do it. If man says don't do it, I'm going to follow God. We need to have that in our lives today without the rudeness. And that's the way our Savior was. But a lot of times we just compromise, and so many Christians nowadays, excuse the vernacular, but we're so wishy-washy and we're afraid to speak up for our Savior. But people need to hear about Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus found this woman at the well, and she was a Samaritan. And he was candid with her. He told her some things, and we'll get to But ladies and gentlemen, we need to stop sacrificing the future on the altar of the immediate. We need to be straightforward with those loved ones and friends and families and our kids. We just need to give them the truth, but without rudeness. We preach a heaven without a hell, a salvation without a repentance, a sacrificial life without a cost. We need to be honest without rudeness, truthful without rudeness, be wise as serpent yet gentle as doves. The Bible speaks. They used to say about, and I mentioned him in Sunday school and I said I'd mention him again. Most of you, a lot of you, especially young people, probably don't know this preacher, but his name was John R. Rice. He's a guy, he was humpback. When I saw him, he was older up in age. He's passed on now. He's not with us anymore. But boy, he was a great preacher. It was said of him, he was the kindest preacher that ever stepped all over your toes. He was that way. He was candor. But he got the truth and preached the truth. Jesus is that way. Jesus is still that way, by the way. I don't care. We need to understand Jesus is still talking to us today. You say, how's he doing that? Well, he talked to the woman. He was physically there. But how does he talk to us today? I hold in my hand how Jesus Christ talks to us today. Through the teaching and preaching and the Word of God, Jesus still talks to us today. Do you need a Savior like that this morning? Are you at the place this woman was? Do you need a Savior like that this morning? He'll be straight with you. He'll give you the truth through the preaching and teaching and the reading of the Word of God. And the truth is, he loves us enough to do that this morning. God loves us. Jesus died. No greater love, the Bible says, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loves us. He loved this woman at the well. Are you at the place this woman is today? Look at it. Let's get into it and see what he revealed to this woman. Number one, Jesus showed this woman that she was a sinner. You say, what are you talking about? Look down here, if you would, at verse 16. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast, can I put that in the English vocabulary for today? Who you're shacking up with is not thy husband. It says, you're not even married to this guy. Been married five times before, just gave it up now and went the modern way and just shacking up with him. In that thou saidst truly. Did you know, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, it's the hardest thing in the world to do to admit that you're a sinner. You say, no, Brother Evans, we're all sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner, Brother Evans. No, can I get it straight in my life, your life, and kind of tell you what we really think? What we really think is, yeah, I'm a sinner. But I don't sin as much as him or her. Come on. Come on, that's how we really think, isn't it? Well, I'm not that bad, Brother Evans. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, ladies and gentlemen. Our sin keeps us from getting into the glory of God, which is heaven. We always think we're not as bad. That's not admitting you're a sinner. Well, I didn't rob a 7-Eleven sword. Well, good, thank you, as preacher always says. But we're still sinners. Can I get an amen there? Isaiah says our righteousness is as our righteousness. Now, the good things we do is as filthy rags. That means a bloody rag. No. No sin or anybody, listen to this statement. No sin or nobody with sin is going to get into the glory of God. You say, how's that possible then? How can anybody go to heaven? I'll tell you, I'm glad you asked me. Because Jesus Christ, God Himself, came to this earth. He was born of a virgin. Yet He was still God, but He was in clothed, the Bible says, He was clothed just like with flesh that you and I have. I mean, you and I know what this flesh wants and thinks and does. Can I get an amen? But the Bible says that Jesus never once sinned. Why? So that He could go to a cross and pay for not His sin, but our sin. God Himself paid the penalty that I owe because I am a sinner. Not as bad as you, but I am a sinner. And we all sin. I understand where we come from and how we think, but every one of us, can I get at least a head shake on this, have sinned, and because of that sin, we must pay the penalty of sin, and the penalty of sin is going to hell to pay for our sin in a place called hell, which is eternal death. But Jesus paid the penalty for us. You hear me use this illustration a lot when I preach because I like it and it's good. On this one hand, the Bible says if I sin, I have to pay the penalty. Look at me now. I have to pay the penalty for that sin. And I just described the penalty. And by the way, those of you who think our loving God would never create hell. He didn't create hell. The book of Matthew says in chapter 24, if I got it right, and I can remember, chapter 24, that hell was created for the devil and his angels because they were eternal beings, just like us. But they sinned, so God had to make a place, and then man comes along and man sins. So we have to go to hell. See, on the one hand, if I sin, I have a penalty to pay. I'm going to have to pay that penalty. If I die before I accept and trust that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for me. But on the other hand, God loved me so much that He sent Himself in the form of Jesus Christ to pay my penalty for me and for you. And all God says is, you got to trust that I did that. My friend, that's what Jesus did. That's why He was telling this woman at the well, trying to get her to see, you're not living right. That's sin, and it's going to send you to hell. And by the way, can I say this? That includes Christians and people that are not saved. Christians, you need forgiveness. I need forgiveness because we're still sinners once we get saved. It doesn't mean we'll die and go to hell. No, I become God's child, the Bible says it. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power or authority to become the sons of God. I'm God's son, just as much as James, who sang this morning, is my son. If that young man would go out and rob the 7-Eleven and shoot the man and kill the man behind the counter, he's still my son. It's the same thing with our God. Once we trust Him, we're His child. But my friend, children get dirty feet, and we need to make sure we see ourselves as sinner too. But this lady at the well, she had never trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. She needed to see herself, and Jesus revealed that he was a sinner. Christ reveals that to us. Look at verse 19, would you? I want to show you what happens. Usually, when you hear the preaching, or in this case, the lady heard what Jesus was saying, this is what we usually do too. Look at it. Verse 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, after he said you had five husbands and da-da-da, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. In other words, she changed the subject. That's what a lot of us do. We get in and we hear preaching of the Word of God, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is revealing that to us, and we start thinking, yeah, I don't know if I agree with how loud he is. I don't know if I like this. And we start changing the subject, what Jesus is trying to do in our hearts. This is what she did. Where it talks about worshiping Jerusalem, Samaritans were half-breeds when the country of Israel was divided. There was 10 tribes Israel, 2 tribes Judah, and they didn't want people going back to Jerusalem where Judah was, so they made a different place to worship. That's what she's talking about. Listen to me. When God reveals to us that we have sin in our lives, whether we're lost and we have a penalty to pay, or whether we have sin as a Christian, as a child of God in our life, my friend, he's doing that because he loves us, not because he's mad at us. Which I sound like I'm mad at you, but I'm not. I'm just effects, okay? Please get the message, not the messenger. God loves us. Jesus loves us. And he'll reveal to us our situation. Are you hearing him speak to you? Are you sitting on that well this morning? Not W-H-A-L-E, but W-E-L-L, by the way. Okay. In Southern, it's kind of hard to tell the difference between the two. Listen to me. He'll always reveal it to us if we'll be willing to listen. Christian, are we the subject changers? I've heard that. And us old settlers, I'm too old to do all. No. Jesus still talks to us, ladies and gentlemen. And he does it through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Second thing he revealed. Christ revealed himself the Savior. Look at verse 25, would you? The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Look at this, verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus never reveals to us that we're sinners or we have a problem without revealing to us he's the answer to that problem. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He will pay the penalty for your sin if you will simply trust him. You got to trust him though. Is he tugging on your heart this morning? Do you see that you're a sinner that's going to pay in eternity if you just happen not to get it settled before you die on this earth? My friend, it's too late then. And Christian, he's working the same way in our lives, not to get us saved, but to show us that he's the answer to all our problems that we have in our life. When we see ourselves as a sinner lost and undone, the only thing that will give us a sense of forgiveness is Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that will give you the peace that you're looking for is Jesus Christ in your life. Lost are saved this morning. But you know what most of us do? We try to fill that void up with drugs, sex, other things to get our mind off a Savior talking to us sitting on a well. It's awful quiet in here this morning. This is good news. This is great stuff. There should have been more amens than that. That means we got a loving, caring Savior that wants to reveal Himself. I've got the answer to your problems, ladies and gentlemen. Not the things that this world offers, but the things that I offer, Jesus says. I am the answer. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. But yet we want to fill our life with the things of this world. It never works out right. Can't we look at our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones who've tried to do it their own way instead of letting Jesus have their way in their life? Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, that's obedience to Christ, we have peace with God. Nothing will satisfy that longing that your heart has, my friend, but Jesus Christ. I read it one time. It's kind of like we have a hole in our chest or our heart, and it's just the shape of Jesus. That's what we need. I know some religions tell you that you got to do something. It's Jesus and you, and that equals peace with God. That equals forgiveness of sin. Well, they can say it all they want. It ain't true. I know that's bad English, but it's the truth. It's candor, ladies and gentlemen. There ain't no answer but Jesus. He is what we need. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The way to know that you have eternal life, and ladies and gentlemen, you can know you have eternal life. It doesn't have to be, I hope so, I guess so, I think so. If that's where you are this morning, you walk forward during the invitation, take our hand, we'll take the Bible and show you how God says you can know. These things have I written unto you, the Bible, that you may know that you have eternal life. The Bible will get, I'll never forget when I first got saved, I thought I'd lost it because of course I sinned. And I think, man, I got to get saved again. And somebody, one of the guys in the Navy showed me, no, you're just a sinner. You'll continue to sin, but you got to get it right. He said, you can know that you have eternal life. Just as I use the example of my son. Listen, he's my son. Even if he does wrong, he's still my son. He can't change that. He can change our fellowship. He can do things that aren't right and not doing right. I could do that too, by the way, but illustration of Jesus. And okay, you got it. You can never know for sure that you're saved until you let go and let Christ save you. I'm sorry. I used to believe when before I got saved that if my good outweighed my bad, I'd go to heaven. If my bad outweighed my good, I'd go to hell. Until somebody got me the book and Jesus told me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth unto the Father but by me. That's what always happens when a person trusts Christ. They'll have the assurance that they're God's child. Notice, and this would be a great place, Jesus didn't reveal a religion, he revealed himself. Look at verse 26 again. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. That would have been a good place to say. No, it's the Roman Catholic Church. It was the Pentecostal Church. It was the Baptist Church. He didn't do that. He said, it is me. Then one last reveal. the woman then reveals herself a Christian. Look, if you would, at verse 28. The woman, and that was after he said, I'm that speak to you, I'm he, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ. She must have trusted him right then. Look what it happens, verse 28. And then the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men. I wonder if that was the men she was shacking up with and the other people she married, but that's another point. She went into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, look at me this morning. When you receive Jesus Christ, you're going to not be ashamed and you're going to reveal it to somebody else that you're a Christian. That's what this... Well, it's behind the wall. The thing drops down. Those of you visitors, we have a video of the baptism back there. That baptism doesn't save anybody. It just gets them wet. But what it does, it reveals to every one of us sitting in here that I got saved by the cross. When they layer you, I'm thinking of lasagna, but listen, I won't go there. When they lay you under the water, it shows the burial of Jesus. And then hopefully he'll lift you out, or I'll lift you out. And when he lifts you out, it shows the resurrection. See, it's a way to reveal to us that you got saved. My friend, when you get saved, you're going to reveal. If you got saved, you're not going to be ashamed. The Bible says we're not ashamed of that in the book of Romans. Listen to me. I'll never forget. And I know I'm boring you. I probably told you this before. I'm be done here in just a second. I'll never forget in the United States Navy, amen. Of course, I joined it when I was lost, but that's another subject. Okay. I'll never forget when I got saved. And over in Sicily, I was at Sicily in the time, and they didn't have any radio stations other than easy listening. That's changed. That tells you how long it goes. Easy listening on the radio that broadcasts from the base. And back then, the young people, I'm going to teach you something. There used to be little cassettes that they had, and there was little stuff that ran around, and they recorded on it. It was called a cassette. And I had a cassette with that radio in it, and I started telling my mama about getting saved. Now, I didn't know this. I'll get to it in a minute. But I would talk to her, then I'd play a little bit of the music. It would record. Then I'd talk to her, and then I'd mail it because I was too lazy to write. I was in the Navy. What can I say? I didn't know it at the time. But I got a call one day, several weeks after that. They said, you got to come home on emergency leave because your mother is dying. I flew home from Sicily, went in, got to see my mother. She was still alive just for a little bit. And I got told the story. My mother would get those little cassette tapes, and she'd play them. And she'd hear this boy that left home to join the Navy and think, what in the world has gotten into him? I didn't know it at the time, but I was told this later. She called my uncle, Uncle Ben. He was a deacon at a Baptist church back in Georgia. And all good deacons in Baptist church smoke, which he did. But that's another story. Okay, I'm not saying you're not supposed to smoke. It's not good for you. I was thinking of things to say, and I'm sorry. I won't say them. Okay, trying to be funny. But he told me that his sister, my mother, called him and said, I don't know what that boy has, but I want it. And my mother got saved. Why? Because somebody was not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Christ, I mean, that lady revealed herself a Christian. Are we doing that in our life? Are we just into the world? Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm done. That woman at the well needed help, just like we all now or sometime are going to need help. And the answer is Jesus. He'll reveal that we're sinners. He'll reveal that He's the Savior. And then, God willing and by the grace of God, you'll make it public and reveal to those around you, especially your church, that I got saved too. Father, I pray you'd bless us and help us now take this simple truth. The woman at the well,